Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Today we're continuing our series, Unleashing the Supernatural, Bringing the Spirit Realm to the Earth. We're continuing our series, and last week we talked about why I love speaking in tongues. Now, for those of you who were here, you remember that we talked about that, and the reason is because so many times we see tongues as being something spooky, but we shared how tongues is not spooky. It is an experience that God has promised to all Christians. He wants everyone to have, and it's something that's very, very practical in our lives, not something that is unusual or out of the ordinary. You can pray in tongues when you are in the shower, while you're shaving or putting on your makeup. When you're doing dishes, you can pray in tongues when you're changing the oil or changing a diaper. You can pray in tongues anywhere, in the car, at work, in school, in the hallway, out on the football field, in the grocery store. You can pray in tongues in any kind of situation, when there is a problem, when you're getting ready for a ministry opportunity. There have been times when I have been in a counseling situation, and somebody says something, I just begin to pray in the Spirit underneath, and the Holy Spirit gives me something to say as a result of that. You can pray in tongues anywhere, anytime. It's a gift that God wants us to have, and we shared five word pictures last week. How many remember what the first one was? It was right down here. It was a rocket. What did the rocket symbolize? Praying in tongues is like launching a smart bomb. Those missiles that laser lock in, and when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit prays through us, and He prays exactly the will of God for us. The second picture we saw was a bridge, how praying in the Spirit builds a bridge in times of separation when we're feeling distant from God, and praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us and talking to God for us. The third one we talked about is like it's a good workout. It strengthens us. It makes us strong. It gives us energy. The fourth picture we saw is it's like joining in a beautiful dance. And we talked about how when we worship in tongues, when we sing in tongues, it brings a closeness and an intimacy with God, as like the Holy Spirit takes us in His arms and just takes us into a sweeter intimacy and closeness than we've had. And then the last picture that we looked at was travailing in birth. When we pray in the Spirit can help us as we pray in English, and then we pray in tongues. He gives us some more ideas to pray about. We come back to praying in English, and then when we run out of words to say, we pray in tongues, and He helps us travail and give birth to things in the Spirit realm. And I encourage, if you weren't here last week, to listen to the message on our podcast at casperfaith.com in the media section. And if you were here, I encourage all of us, if you're baptized in the Spirit, be praying in tongues. Make it a part of your daily life. And if you don't have the baptism, begin seeking it more, because God wants to do the supernatural in our lives. And tongues is one of the ways that He does that. Now, this morning we want to talk about manifesting God in the real world. Manifesting God in the real world. We could maybe subtitle this, Making God Show Up. How does God show up? When I say the word manifest, what comes to mind? What comes to mind? It's a term that if those who are in the occultic arts, they use that word quite frequently. You might see it in a seance when they have people gathered around and they're wanting some departed person to appear, and they ask the Spirit to manifest itself. What they're saying is, we want something that is unseen to give a sign that it is visible, that it is real, that while it is invisible, it's not imaginary. And friends, God is not an imaginary God. God wants to show up in our world. God wants to manifest Himself. He wants to reveal Himself to those around us. I remember when I was a child growing up, I had severe allergies where I would cough several times a minute. It was a deep-seated cough. I had just a lot of congestion in my lungs. I had a horrible runny nose. It was so bad that my nose would get raw from using Kleenexes so much. We went to an allergy specialist, and they did several tests where they poke your back with needles, like, you know, 200 needles on your back and 50 in your arms. I went through it a couple of times, and basically the allergy doctor said, you're allergic to about a dozen different things, and there is nothing we can do for you. You just need to learn to live with it. So I'm stuck with these allergies. Now, fast forward to the second grade. I'm in the second grade now. And what takes place is that our neighbor lady, Barb, has begun to build a relationship with my mom. We had just moved to a new town, and our neighbor lady, who's a born-again Christian, begins to build a relationship with my mother and eventually invites her to come to her church. Her church was a small little Pentecostal church 30 miles away from where we lived, and my mom finally decided to go to her, even though we had our own church. My mom went to it, and she was used to sitting down when you're told to sit down, stand when you stand, kneel when you're told to kneel, talk when you're supposed to talk. And this little Pentecostal church, I mean, this was way different for her. I mean, they clapped, they sang with energy, they spoke in weird languages. Now, for those of you who were here this morning during worship and you heard something weird and you're kind of going, these guys are nuts, hey, I've been there, I understand that. When someone speaks in a different language as you heard and then someone gave an interpretation in English, that's what the Bible calls a message in tongues and interpretation. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14. And I encourage you, to go home, read about it. If you have any questions, you can speak to myself or our pastoral team. But it's when God has a special message on his heart that he wants to share with those who are present. And that's what he did today, and that was a word for us, that he wants us to worship him no matter what. He loves us, he cares about us, and that's for you this morning. But anyway, my mom went to this little Pentecostal church, and she liked it so much, she went back in some evenings, and we still attended our church Sunday morning. Now, my allergies in the meantime continued to worsen. They were not getting any better. And my mom told Barb about it, and Barb said, would you like the church to pray for Craig? And my mom said, well, might as well. You know, we've tried everything else, and nothing works. And so they were praying for me, and I was at home, sitting in front of the television, watching TV, doing a report on rattlesnakes in between in the commercials, okay? How many of you kids, that's how you do your homework? During the commercials, yeah. You don't get a whole lot done, all right? And I remember it so clearly. It was like an inaudible voice. I didn't hear it literally, but it was in my mind. Something said, look up at the clock. And I did. It was 10 minutes after 8, and I stopped coughing. I coughed once more at 9 o'clock and once more at 10 o'clock. My mom was at a meeting. She came home from the meeting at 10 o'clock. I coughed when she walked in the door. She said, how are you doing? I said, great. I coughed once at 9, once at 10 when you walked in the door. She says, oh, wonderful, you're allergic to me, you know. I woke up the next morning completely healed. No cough, no runny nose, no sniffles. I was completely healed. My mom spoke with Barb that day. She says, it's incredible, Craig's healed. And Barb said, well, we prayed last night. My mom said, what time did you pray? And Barb said, it was a little after 8 o'clock. Friends, 30 miles away, as a group of Christians were praying, an 8-year-old boy was healed from something the doctor said there was nothing they could do about it. But how many of you know, you give the Lord a hand, amen. How many of you know that we serve a great physician, a doctor who says, with me, nothing is impossible. And God revealed himself to me and my family through that healing. Because you see, even though I went to church, I went to weekly religion classes, I believed in God, I prayed regularly, I went to communion, I did all the things I was told to do, because I was taught that if you do all the right things, if you have enough good works to outweigh your sin, you'll go to heaven. That's what I believed. That's what I was taught growing up. And that was what I thought was right. But And despite all the things I was doing, God still seemed distant and far away. But when he healed me, something changed, and I began to realize that God was real, and he wants to be up close and personal, and it was through that supernatural healing that my mom became saved. A month later, my dad was saved, and a month later, I was saved, and a year later, my sister was saved. Our entire family came to Jesus through the supernatural manifestation of healing. And that's what God wants to do in and through his church, is that God wants to show up in the lives of unbelievers. He wants to show up in the lives of the community, and he wants to show up in the lives of us also, because he wants to manifest himself, make himself real to the world. This morning, we're going to take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." There are 9 things that are mentioned in this passage of Scripture. There is a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, discernment of spirits. There is a gift of faith, healing and miracles, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Those 9 things. And these things, many times people call them the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we can call them that, but I want us to realize that there are other places in the Bible where it uses the terms gifts of the Spirit or spiritual gifts, and it refers to other things also. If you wanted to get a more accurate label for these 9 things, you could call these the manifestations of the Spirit, because that's what it says in verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And this word manifestation is only used 1 time in relation to spiritual gifts, and it's right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that word manifestation, what it means is there is an uncovering. It's like if you had something covered up and you unveiled it. It means a shining forth, something that you didn't see before, and you are putting it forth on display for everyone to see. And what the Lord is saying is, I want to unveil, I want to shine forth, I want to reveal myself and put myself on display for all to see. Now, we could group these 9 things into 3 basic categories. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. And we're going to look at these actually more next week. But the first one is the knowledge gifts. The knowledge gifts. The knowledge gifts of the word of wisdom.
E equals MC squared. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Pi equals pumpkin. Apple. I mean 3.14.
The gifts, the knowledge gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discernment of spirits. The second grouping of the manifestations are the power gifts. The power gifts are faith, healing, and miracles. And last but not least are the message gifts. Thank you. The message gifts are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. The knowledge, the power, and the message. God wants to reveal His knowledge to the world, His power to the world, and His message to the world. Now, we are going to focus more in depth on these three groups next Sunday, all right? This morning, we're going to talk about something else, but I want you to help me in giving a hand to our knowledge, power, and message people. Excellent. We're going to unpack those three areas more next week, so make sure you come back. But today, I want us to look at the life of Jesus to see what Jesus did to manifest God in the real world. What did Jesus do to reveal God, to shine God forth? And there's three things there in your notes. If you're taking notes this morning, the very first thing Jesus did to make God show up in everyday life is that He was prayed up. We need to be prayed up. Before Jesus started His ministry, He spent 40 days in fasting and prayer. Before He taught one principle, before He healed one person, before He performed one miracle, He first prayed and fasted. We see this in Luke chapter 4. The first 13 verses talk about the 40 days of prayer and fasting Jesus went through. And then the temptation by the enemy. And then in verse 14, as Jesus is coming out of this, it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And friends, if we want to see God manifest Himself, if we want Him to see up, to show Himself up at work, at school, in everyday life, in our homes, at church, then we need to be a people that are prayed up. Because Jesus made prayer a priority of His ministry. It was essential. Look a chapter later in Luke chapter 5, verse 16. It says that Jesus Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. It tells us the pattern of His life. Often, He had crowds surrounding Him. And there came a place where He could no longer go into the cities because He was mobbed. He had to kind of stay out on the outskirts of the cities, and people came out to Him. But He was mobbed so much, He had to often withdraw into the wilderness, go up in the mountains, go out in the deserts, go to some secluded place in nature just to get away from people. And it says He often withdrew. It tells us this as a pattern right up front in His ministry. Prayer was a matter of importance to Him. And it's interesting, right after this verse, it tells us of the story when Jesus was in a house preaching, and all of a sudden He hears the roof being ripped off, and these four guys are lowering down a man on a mattress right through the roof, and He heals a paralyzed man. The power came through prayer. You flip another chapter in Luke to chapter 6, verse 12. It came to pass in those days, He went out to a mountain to pray, and He continued all night in prayer. Wow, have you ever spent an entire night in prayer? That's what Jesus did. Prayer was so important. In the following verses, He chooses His 12 disciples. That's why He was praying. And as soon as He came down from the mountain with them, it says He went, in verse 17, He came down with them and stood in a level place with a crowd of His disciples and a great multitude from Judea and Jerusalem, from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear Him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Jesus had so much power because He was a person of prayer. The last reference I want to refer to is Mark chapter 1, verse 32 to 39. It's probably one of my favorites, because it says, at evening, when the sun had set. Do you realize that every verse in the Bible is there for a reason? Every portion? There is a reason it's telling us that it was evening, the sun had set. It's late in the day. Late in the day, that's when they brought all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole city gathered together at the door. So Jesus is not starting ministry until nighttime. And it says He healed all the sick. The whole town turned out. All the demon-possessed, all those. He probably had a very late night that night. And as you go on and you read verse 34, He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out demons. Verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while, everyone say long while. A long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Even though Jesus ministered late into the night, he knew prayer was such a priority, and there's so many people pressing around me. He got up before the sun. He went out to a solitary place. If you keep reading, his disciples have no idea where he went to. You know, did he get raptured? You know, did he leave us? Did he say, man, I can't handle the stress anymore. I'm having a nervous breath. I mean, they didn't know. We have no idea where he's at. Jesus made prayer a priority in his ministry. And if the Son of God needed to pray, how much more do you and I need to be people of prayer and of fasting to receive the power so that God can manifest himself in this world? Prayer is essential. If you're taking notes, write this down. Prayer is dependence on God. That's what prayer is. When you pray, you are showing, I am dependent on God. I'm dependent on God. Let me give an example. If I am going to meet with someone and spend time with them, I don't answer my cell phone. I don't let myself get interrupted. Why? Because I want to make sure I'm connecting with that person and I'm focusing on that person. And when I pray, I am getting away from all other distractions. I am, because I want to connect with God, and so I don't look at my cell phone, I don't look at my text. I am praying and focusing on God. It's time with him. Another example, maybe I'm working on a project, either at home or at work, and I want to get this done, or I've got a deadline, and I need to get it done, and I just focus all my time and energy on it. I don't want to be interrupted with other things. I've got some time carved out. I might even skip a meal, maybe lunch and dinner. How many of you ever skipped a meal because you had a project you needed to finish? Yeah. You know, something before the snow flies or something before that 5 o'clock deadline. You want to get this done, so you go without food. Really, that's what fasting is, going without food because you say, my time with God is more important than me feeding myself. And when we do that, we're saying, this project takes priority in my life. But when we pray, we're abandoning our work. And we're saying, I believe it's more beneficial for me to take time and talk to God and let God do the work instead of me working right now. I am depending on God's energy and power in his working to do more than what I could accomplish. Prayer is dependency on God. And the more busy we are, really, the more prayer we need. A lot of times, we do the opposite. The busier we are, the less prayer we have. The more God begins to move and do the supernatural in our church, and the more we begin to grow, the more we, as pastors, as ministry leaders, as ministry team members, need to be praying because we need God's supernatural energy to show up. Prayer needs to be a priority. You say, I've got too much to do. I'm too busy. Friends, it's just like in tithing. I believe that if I give God 10%, God can do more with 90% of my money than I can do with 100% of my money. Okay? And that's the same thing with prayer, is that I believe God can do more with 23 hours than I can do with 24. Prayer is dependency on God. That's the very first key that you and I need to embrace in our lives to see God show up in a supernatural way in our community and in our lives. The second thing we want to talk about this morning, the second key to having God show up, is we need to be open to interruptions. We need to be open to interruptions. If we want God to show up, we must welcome interruptions in our lives. And most of us, we despise interruptions in our lives. I know I do. I mean, we have so much to do. We have to pick the kids up from school, Take them to ball practice. Go run and do the grocery shopping. Come back and pick them up from ball practice. Come home and unpack all the groceries and put them away that we just bought. And then keep some of them out because we have to make dinner. And then we clean up dinner and we help kids with homework. We pray, have devotions with them before they go to bed and get them to bed. And we get up the next morning and we start things all over and we have our own devotions. And that's just our regular daily life. All the special projects like changing oil, like winterizing the sprinkler system, like getting that window, that broken window replaced because winter is now here. You know, all these different things, you know, doing laundry, cleaning the house. We have so much to do just in our home schedule. And our work schedules are just as packed and just as busy. And then we prepare for ministry that we're involved in, whatever it might be. And we cannot handle just one more thing on our plate. And so we want God to interrupt our lives? You have got to be kidding. And yet, when you read the New Testament, you read the Gospels, do you realize that almost every one of Jesus' miracles was the result of an interruption? You just don't plan a miracle. The supernatural were interruptions in Jesus' schedule. We talked about Jesus healed the paralyzed man. That was an interruption when he was preaching in the house. How many realize that? When he feeds the 5,000. That was an interruption. Mark 6:31 tells us, Jesus, he says, hey, come aside, let's go to a deserted place. He gets his disciples in a boat, and they sail off, and when they get to the place where they arrive to have a spiritual retreat, there's 5,000 men plus women and children present. How many know you can't have a retreat when you've got 5,000 people there? He was looking for a little bit of R&R, and out of this interruption, he fed the 5,000. Jesus is tired one time. He goes to sleep in a boat and his disciples wake him up. Oh, we're going to drown. We're going to drown. That was an interruption. And as soon as they get to shore, he is met right on the shore by a demon-possessed man in the country of Gadara. Okay? Now, friends, you do not schedule delivering a demon-possessed person. Okay? I mean, it's not on your Outlook calendar. You don't pencil that into your day timer, you know. Heal demon-possessed man at Lake Alcova Beach, Tuesday, 3 p.m. You can't plan for that kind of stuff. Jesus' life was interrupted. And when he goes back across the lake, after he gets done ministering in the country of the Gadarenes, no sooner does he get on shore, and Pastor Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, says, you've got to come and heal my daughter. She's deathly ill. So Jesus is walking to his house, and on his way to this interruption, a lady touches the bottom of his clothes and power flows out from him and she's healed. She had this issue of blood. She had been bleeding internally for 12 years. Doctors couldn't help her and she is healed. I mean, here is an interruption to the interruption. And while he is delayed with this interruption, the young girl dies. And Jesus went on to that interruption and brought her back to life. Friends, Jesus teaches us if God is going to show up in our lives, then we need to be open and welcome the interruptions, and that takes dying to our flesh. That means when we get up in the morning and we pray and we're saying, God, I'm giving you this time because you can do more with this time than I can do if I was working on all the things I need to get done, that we're also praying and saying, Lord, I'm trusting that if today you interrupt me, then I can do more with 22 hours. You can do more with 22 than I could have done with 24. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to make up the difference. When Jesus was walking in public, he wasn't going to Jairus' house like this. Because if he would have been walking fast and been in a rush, there's no way a lady who's laying on the ground, doesn't even have power enough to stand, can touch his clothes as he goes by. Jesus walked slowly through the crowds. Everyone say, walk slowly through the crowds. That's what Jesus did. And I have found in my life, and hey, I'm one of the worst at this. I am working on this. I need to try to carve out an extra 10, 15 minutes on the front end and the back end when I'm going out and doing things. When I go to the gas station, when I go to the grocery store, when I head to Walmart, and just try to walk with spiritual antenna and say, Lord, as I'm walking through these crowds, as I'm picking up milk out of the dairy section, is there someone that you want me to pray for, someone you want me to minister to? Because if I'm in a rush, I am not going to hear what God is saying to me. I am not going to see the needs. I mean, God might want to bring someone right up to you, and they might ask you for prayer. You might see someone who's troubled, and I need to be open to interruptions. I need to slow down, and we have all these gadgets in our life to make, to be more productive and effective. You know, we have cell phones with the email and the text on it so we can communicate, and we have microwave ovens, and we have all these things so that we can go faster and do more, and sometimes our focus on productivity and accomplishing stuff causes us to have blinders on, and we don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're like Martha. We are so busy doing what we're supposed to do, our responsibilities, that we don't have an open ear to hear what Jesus might say to us at the moment. So I need to be a person who's prayed up. I need to be a person that is open to interruptions. And the last thing that I need to embrace if I want to see God show up in my life is I need to obey God's promptings. I need to obey God's promptings. God will open doors for us to walk through. He'll speak to us about what we should say or what we should do, who we should connect with, who we should reach out to. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30 in the Message version, it says, Jesus explained himself at length. He said, I'm telling you this straight. The Son can't independently do a thing, only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. I can't do a solitary thing on my own. I listen, then I decide. You can trust my decision because I'm not out to get my own way, but only to carry out orders. Friends, Jesus did not heal every sick person in Israel. He did not deliver every demon-possessed person. He did not raise every dead person up. He listened to what the Father told him to do, and he obeyed God's promptings. And we need to open our ears and say, Lord, I am open. I am your vessel. Flow through me. Help me be like a conduit where God speaks to me and his power flows out to others around me. There was a time when I was working in a factory assembly line, putting together radiator units. I was on the testing end, and I'm just standing at my station one day, taking the radiators off the line, putting them on my station, putting in the plugs, filling them with the gas that goes into the test chamber and all this fun stuff. And all of a sudden, I mean, it's a no-brainer job, okay? It really doesn't take much thought. And as I'm praying, God says, go pray for PJ. PJ was one of my coworkers. He was two stations back. And earlier in the day, you know how you just make foyer conduct, bathroom, conversation work with someone. Hey, how you doing? And PJ said, I'm miserable. I got this cold, and you could hear,
he was kind of stuffed up. Yeah, I'm miserable, man.
And he's, I'm aching all over. I don't want to be here. And I said, oh, that's too bad. I didn't think anything about it. Went back to work, and just did all the stuff you're doing. It was 2-3 hours later, I'm at my station, and God says, go pray for PJ. And I'm saying, but Lord, there are units coming down the line. And I was the last man on the totem pole. So if I didn't get the unit, then it went, kept going, and I missed it. And if the guys ahead of me didn't want to work too hard, I just got all the units. And so I'm the last man on the totem pole. I'm going, God, there's units. And he just said, pray for PJ. And I'm doing my units. I'm thinking, yeah, but what if nothing happens? What if he makes fun of me because PJ wasn't a Christian and he made fun of believers? Oh, you holy rollers and all this kind of thing. He made fun of us. And God said, do it. So I get to a place where there's no units for about 20 feet. And I run from my station where I was working. I run back. And I say, PJ. And he looks up at me, I said, can I pray for you? And he has this kind of, you know, deer in the headlights look and just says, yeah, I guess so. So, and I run back to my station and I pick up the unit that's going by and I just start working again. I don't know how many minutes later, as I'm just standing there, I was praying for PJ. PJ walks up to me and he says, what did you say to me? And I said, I just asked if I could pray for you. And he said, when you said those words, it was like a jolt of electricity went from the top of my head down to the bottom of my toes, and I am completely healed. The aches are gone. The stuffiness is gone. I'm healed. Get this. He said, you healed me. And I says, PJ, I did not heal you. God healed you. He told me to come and pray for you. Now, everyone knew in the factory that I was a minister. In fact, my nickname was Preacher Man. Okay? I wasn't a preacher man that day. PJ went around telling everybody he saw, hey, Preacher Man prayed for me and I was healed. And I tell you, the next break, as I'm walking to the bathroom, there were some really weird looks I got, you know. But God opened doors to be able to share with him, hey, that's the power of God. God loves. And here's the thing, God revealed himself to PJ because PJ had disregarded this whole born again thing. You guys are a bunch of fanatics. God wants to reveal himself. He wants to show up on the factory assembly line in Casper, Wyoming. He wants to reveal himself out in the oil field, in the locker room, in the classroom, in your office. He wants to reveal himself in your neighborhood, in your home, wherever we are at. Not just on a Sunday morning from 10 o'clock to 11:30, but God wants to reveal himself to a world that doesn't know him. His power, his message, his knowledge, his majesty, his presence, that he's not a God somewhere far off, but he is here, he is real, and he wants to touch your life. And he wants to use you and I to do that. He says, I want my Spirit to partner with you. Did you realize that you and I are partners with the Holy Spirit? We're partners. And so when you get up this morning, or you were a partner already today, when you were teaching your discipleship group, all of our teachers, you are partnering with the Holy Spirit. When you go out to lunch, you're partnering with the Holy Spirit and saying, here I am. Lord, help me to walk slowly through the crowd. Help me to be open to interruptions. And if you say do something, help me not to, well, what if they don't like it? Obey his prompting. I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. I want us to see God show up in our everyday lives. That people everywhere see his power and sense his presence. Friends, I can't tell you how exciting it was when God healed PJ. And I want you and I to walk in that excitement and exhilaration. But not just so that we feel good about ourselves, but because God loves the lost. And the only reason we're still here on planet Earth is because he wants to manifest himself to those who don't know him yet. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? What's he impressing on your heart? Some of you maybe are sensing that your spiritual life is not what it needs to be. Your prayer life is lacking, and God is calling you to pull away, to withdraw, and to spend more time with Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit's shining his searchlight on your heart and saying, hey, come away. Be with me. Be intimate with me. I want to be with you. Some of you this morning, might be paralyzed by a spirit of fear. You're afraid to step out and pray for people or to be used of God because you think you might look foolish. People might make fun of you, or you pray and nothing happens. And you don't want to look ridiculous. Friends, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He wants us to be strong and courageous. And God needs to deliver some of us from fear today. That might be you. Some might be here and you'd say, man, I am so busy, Craig, this morning. I've been bound up, even in church. I've been thinking about everything I have to do. My term papers, my projects in college, all these things I have at home, my honey-do list, all this work that's weighing down, and I keep having setbacks, and I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know how I can find any time for interruptions. You've got anxiety today, and Jesus wants to set you free, and he's saying, trust me. Partner with me, with my spirit. Walk in the supernatural. Some of you still need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You didn't come forward last week, and you need to come forward. You need to receive it. Some of you are here and you'd say, Craig, I am not right with God. I know I'm a sinner, and I need to surrender my life to him. In just a moment, we're going to sing a final song, and as we do, we're going to have our leaders come forward for prayer. And if you need prayer for anything, you need prayer for deliverance from anxiety or from fear, from busyness, you want God to help you carve out time in prayer, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to give your life to Jesus, or maybe it's anything, it might be finances or healing, a family matter, whatever it is, we want to you to have the chance to pray, because I believe God wants to show up and meet you this morning at these altars.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.